Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Revolution Radio. I hope you're doing well today. I certainly am. There's a lot to talk about this evening. Good evening in the chat room. Hello, Patriots. Hello. This evening, I'd like to dedicate this show to our heroes out there. Sharon Rondo, first of all, for her continuous work on this and many other issues facing our country. As Papoose said a little bit ago, she will be our new Time Magazine editor, absolutely, when we get rid of this situation. But I'm going to highlight the letter that Sharon wrote to Donald Trump. Secondly, I'd like to thank as well Teresa Cao for keeping well and for having the courage to stand up in the House of Representatives. She, of course, will be our new Speaker of the House. Again, when we get rid of this mess that we're in right now. Again, I'd like to thank Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin. I find it interesting to note that the commanding general in Lakin's case has still not approved, quote-unquote, his sentence. This is very significant. I think we can talk about the what that might mean, and I invite all of you to call in if you'd like to and talk about this issue. But Lakin has served more than half his term, his sentence, but still no finalization of the sentence. What does this mean? Where are we going? I think those three for now, except that I want to again, place kudos to Obama Release Your Records for providing so timely information for all of us to Charles Kirshner and Mario Puzo, who have been on this issue for a long time and created the most historic and best record ever of what a natural-born citizen means and so forth. I'm going to read an article by Mario Puzo this evening. He's taken a look at all the eligibility bills and taken a look at standing, our very important need to be able to challenge our Secretary of State's to make sure that they've done the right thing with regard to Obama. Then there are several other people, of course. Orly Tate has been on this issue forever, you may or may not have heard, but there's a hearing now that's scheduled for May 2nd in California on the case involving Alan Keyes. This was the Judge Carter case. Judge Carter, as you recall, promised Orly discovery and then got an intern sent over by the Obama administration or a law clerk, and then he backed out, of course. This is a former Marine sitting there as a judge who was probably not exactly given the Judge John Roll treatment, but probably told what to say. Now, I also find it interesting. I'm quite excited right now. I'm feeling a little bit better personally, of course, because we've all been struggling with this issue for a long time, and it was completely unexpected that Donald Trump came forward, and I want to give a huge shout-out and thank you to Mr. Donald Trump for not backing down on what he's doing. I don't care if he's running for president or not. He's the only one who's had the guts to bring this up. And notice who it is. It's a person who, you know, pretty much owns Manhattan. He's not afraid. He's got his own independent work and living and life and so forth. And the liberal media have been going absolutely crazy. Fox has been unable to deal with this. However he's working, whoever he's working on behalf of, I want to thank him for not only raising that issue, but calling us salt of the earth and reminding everyone what great Americans we birthers are, we constitutionalists are. So it's been a very good run of information and so forth, so I'm excited to talk about that this evening. Last thing, just some things to point out. Obama declared war illegally. He's been in there with a secret finding, presidential finding, weeks ago that allowed him to put boots on the ground, supposedly, even though, of course, he said he'd never use a finding. He didn't coordinate this with anybody. He is, in fact, right now funding Al-Qaeda. He doesn't know who the opposition is. But this is clearly a new world order. You know, you shoot the missiles off and you can go to Brazil and then come back. So he ran like a coward to South America. And, of course, he came back and he was locked out of the White House. And I think that's very telling. Since when do you not know, since when does staff not prepare for a president to come back into town? You know, I'm not calling him president, but a president. So I think this is very telling, and I'm certainly hopeful that all the devices have now been installed in the Oval Office and everywhere else so we can actually nail him on his whatever he's doing to our country and where he gets his orders from. You also may have heard as well that Colonel Hollister, who had the case that was just dismissed just a couple of weeks ago, well, actually more than that, about a month ago by the Supreme Court, of course, without comment. He was represented by John Hemingway. And now that we know, I mean, there was every reason to take that case, but of course, Sotomayor and Kagan did not recuse themselves, and John Roberts didn't do anything. But we know how Roberts behaved, and so we know he's part of this cabal. I think a very interesting point was the initial oath of office was probably not flubbed. That was probably intentional, so that the second oath of office taken behind closed doors may have been given to Barry Sotero or somebody else. But that second swearing in was not on a Bible, as you may know. So we'll see what is happening there. Now, the rhinos are all showing themselves to be absolutely spineless. The only person who has said something about a birth certificate is Michelle Bachmann, and all she said is, I will release mine. And right now, after Donald Trump has come forward, after Marco Rubio basically said, oh, Obama's a Christian and he was born in the United States, end of story, after Tim Pawlenty, as people have rightly pointed out, Tim Pawlenty probably got a call from everybody saying, that he believes Obama and that's good enough for me, and if CNN has seen the thing, it's good enough for me. And so we see by the wayside more than a dozen Republican candidates who want that Slav president are not going anywhere. They are not going to raise this issue. They're going to be too nice. They're going to be too politically correct. In other words, you're just going to keep the game up. And that's not something that I think we want right now, anybody wants right now. Personally, I'm tired of career politicians. We need to go back to the way it was. We have working people in that Congress. And I'll tell you how I feel about Congress's so, quote-unquote, intelligence right now. I think that any good high school in the United States, the senior class, could walk into that Congress, take over, have their little constitutions right there, and repeal every single law in the books that is unconstitutional. It's that kind of thing we need. We cannot have any more career politicians. Now, Karl Rove is now out saying, Donald's making a huge mistake. Trump is making a huge mistake talking about the birth certificate. Why? Why would that be it for Rove? Well, we can thank Rove for Barack Obama. We can thank Rove and Donna Brazile and McCain and all of these people who basically gave the election, set up McCain, a very poor candidate, gave the election to Obama. So Rove sees Trump absolutely, maybe Trump trumped him. That'll be great. But Rove sees this as a threat. So what does this mean? I think there's a possibility that we can see the Republicans trying to set up somebody like Sarah Palin, who will lose to Obama, I believe. Besides, Sarah Palin just dissed us a few days ago, so as far as I'm concerned, she's off the ticket for me. If there's going to be this much of a threat, and all of us know that the entire government is invested in keeping the secret of Obama, then you know for sure they're going to try to set up a straw Republican candidate who will lose to Obama. So we've got to be very careful. Trump, I don't know if he ran what he'd run as, but probably wouldn't run as Republican or Democrat. And that would be terrific. But then we'll get all the worries about splitting the votes, et cetera, et cetera. So this is coming down to basically the Republicans and the Democrats trying to hang on to the deception and to keep doing what they're doing. They will do anything, including, destroying their own careers just to stay in power, because they don't think we have the power to get them out, or even somebody like Donald Trump would either. So I think we're facing a very interesting time, and let me see how high guests, how high Nancy, high Papoose, nice to see you. Identity theft, yes. We are infiltrated, and it is going to get worse. I will be reading you a very interesting piece in about an hour regarding Homeland Security's continuous assault on Americans, and just to keep you going. But this is going to be very, very serious. We're going to see what happens. There will be absolute clear division lines. Those of us who have been out on this issue can expect more of the same, perhaps even more fierce. But we have to keep going. I would encourage everyone to really please continue to contact Donald Trump, continue to educate him, if you will. I know he knows something. I know there's disappointment right now. He just gave an interview to Yeah, that's an interesting point, Papoose. Sarah Palin is carrying a weight she cannot thrust. That's right. She's going to see the light bulb go off with Trump's stance. Anyway, just back to that point, as I look at the chemtrails that have destroyed this beautiful desert sky today, and you can expect more of this, right? So, okay, so here's the context. Japan goes down with, you know, a HAARP created or something created largest earthquake ever in the last 200 years. The more you look at all of this information and the more you understand what HAARP is really about, I think I mentioned this last week, you all know about harmonics, that if you happen to hit the vibration of a certain, at the right vibration of a certain material, it will harmonically vibrate with you. So what is a microwave? It's vibration. What is the vibrational frequency of the rocks beneath Japan and so forth and so on? You know, a lot of it, because there are volcanoes, there are a lot of the magmas close to the surface. What happens when you jam the magma with a microwave burst? So in any case, everyone's calling us crazy for that, but this is just very too convenient for all of this. Keep an eye on Japan. There are more things that are going to happen there because New World Order is not done with them. I think that they've hoped that they've triggered, you know, the inevitable volcanic eruption, which really would destroy Japan. But in that case, we have to have, you know, much sympathy for the Japanese people because, you know, our government and the New World Order is destroying them, and this is a problem. Now, let's get to, I wonder if New York is being chemtrailed right now. Does anyone live in New York that's out there? Hello, everyone. Now, let's start with the first tribute here to Sharon Rondo. I'm gonna start this off because for me this is, you know, we've been on this, a lot of us. For me, it's 2.5 years, almost 3 years. You all know what happened to me. It's nothing compared to what is happening to everybody else. But this letter captured so much of what we need. Dear Mr. Trump, Barack Hussein Obama's eligibility to serve as president. Thank you for showing the courage to stand on principle and come out publicly demanding that Obama reveal his original long-form birth certificate, which allegedly is on file with the Hawaii Department of Health, including this morning when you correctly stated on Fox and Friends that Obama has, quote, spent millions, unquote, to hide it. Now, though I know many of you have read Sharon's letter, but I think it's just fine to read it again, and I hope you don't mind. It's a source of inspiration for me. Sharon's letter was meticulously detailed, referenced with excellent materials. You know, we are so fortunate to have had Commander Kirshner and Mario Puzo on these issues, Leo D'Onofrio on these issues, many other people who have really developed this. We'll talk a little bit more because there are some people right now who are disappointed with Trump or feeling his information might be a little bit quote unquote thin because of the birth certificate. But I think he's kind of a fox. You know, he has red hair as well, so you know, crazy like a fox, if you will. Sorry for interrupting the letter. Okay, as you know, back to the letter. As you know, millions of Americans are concerned about this issue. And you are correct that a relative of Obama's could have registered his birth in Hawaii and received a short form certification even if he had been born outside the country. Obama's eligibility or lack thereof is a matter of urgent national security because if he is not eligible due to one or more foreign allegiances or citizenship, our military and every single U.S. citizen is in peril. That sentence was perfect. If he is not eligible due to one or more foreign allegiances or citizenship, our military and every single U.S. citizen is in peril. Right there, Sharon enters the information that it's not just the birth certificate. The opportunity for blackmail against a usurper acting as the chief executive officer and commander-in-chief of the U.S. Armed Forces is formidable, particularly as the Middle East has erupted in unrest and we are now involved in a new war in Libya, in addition to Iraq, Afghanistan, and our servicemen and women positioned around the world. I am editor of an electronic newspaper, The Post and Email, which began as a blog in August 2009 and was incorporated in the state of Wyoming in January 2010. By the way, Wyoming, no corporate income tax. It's a very good place to register your company. My company is registered in Wyoming as well. And I live there, too. It's a nice state. My hope is to grow the company into a full-service newspaper serving the American people and the world by reporting the truth about what is occurring in our government. We also have provided a means by which the common man may report the news as he sees it without the bias of mainstream media, in keeping with the intent of our founder and editor emeritus, Mr. John Charlton. Since our inception, we have conducted extensive research into the policies, procedures, and responses of the Hawaii Department of Health, which has claimed that it possesses Obama's original birth certificate and that he was a, quote, natural-born American citizen. However, no proof of that claim made by then-Health Director Dr. Shion Fukino was ever offered, in violation of Hawaii's own state law, which mandates disclosure of documentation used to issue public statements. Remember, she said, Obama's a natural-born citizen of America, and then violated state law by not releasing anything to back that up. And then Linda Lingle, unbelievable Republican stooge governor of Hawaii, who's now been replaced by a Democrat stooge governor in Hawaii, also said that she had seen it. Miss Janice Okubu, the department's spokesman, has given out patently false information to the Associated Press in Honolulu and refused to correct the record while also refusing to answer our request for information. You probably know that shortly after his election in November 2010, Governor Neil Abercrombie stated that he thought Obama's birth certificate should be released. Shortly afterward, Abercrombie reported that there is no original birth certificate held by the Hawaii Department of Health, contrary to the statement of his predecessor, Linda Lingle, and her health department director. Obama, his half-sister, and even the White House have identified two different hospitals where he allegedly was born in Hawaii, but neither hospital claims it was his birthplace. In fact, recently a Hawaii state senator asked to see a letter which had allegedly been written by Obama on the 50th anniversary of the Kapi'olani Medical Center, but removed from the hospital's website directly after a news report was issued about it. And the state senator has been refused his request to inspect that letter. The Post and Email agrees with your assertion that Governor Neil Abercrombie should be investigated along with all Hawaii officials who have played a part in what could be the biggest crime in United States history. The Post and Email has recently sent Governor Abercrombie a certified letter that the research which shows evidence negating that research shows evidence negating Obama's claim of a Hawaiian birth. We have received the certified receipt, but no response from the governor. It has been reported that some of Obama's alleged Kenyan relatives have claimed he was born in Kenya, and the Kenyan ambassador to the United States, Mr. Peter Ogego, affirmed that fact proudly in a radio interview he gave the day after the 2008 presidential election. Additionally, members of the Kenyan parliament stated on the record last March that Obama was not born in America, but rather in Kenya, and they praised the American people for being so open-minded as to have elected a person who was not even a native of their country. We all remember that, right? And we all remember that right after that, Obama made an emergency visit to the Kenyan embassy, and all of a sudden they were quiet, and all of a sudden there was money over in Kenya about this. I have personally queried the U.S. State Department regarding Obama's mother's passport application prior to 1965, and they refused to answer in a direct and honest manner. A lawsuit filed against the State Department for failing to release the information, which should be disclosable under the Freedom of Information Act, yielded information from 1965 and forward, but nothing from the year preceding. The State Department has instead claimed that passport applications prior to 1965 were ordered, quote, destroyed, unquote, by the General Services Administration, although the GSA has denied that allegation. You can find that allegation in the record, or you can find anything that the GSA ordered in the record. It's not there. I am in a possession of a letter from the State Department which states that it does not have the requested records while at the same time saying that it should. Why is it that no one can obtain copies of Stanley M. Dunham Obama Sotero's passport applications prior to 1965? Is it because they would indicate that she traveled and gave birth to her baby overseas, contrary to Obama's claimed birth in Hawaii? All of the foregoing circumstantial evidence is compelling in and of itself. This morning you made it clear that you are aware that the online image posted during the campaign is of questionable authenticity, and several licensed forensic document examiners have as much. Moreover, there were four successive versions posted on various websites as questions about its authenticity were raised. However, an even more obvious fact which unequivocally disqualifies Obama from meeting the U.S. Constitution's requirements for president is his foreign father. While there are several theories about what is meant by the term natural-born citizen in Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, one theory is that it referred to the natural law of citizenship being passed from a father to his offspring. Since Obama's father had British citizenship because he was a Kenyan national at the time, Kenya was a colony of Great Britain, British citizenship was passed from Barack Obama Sr. to Barack Obama Jr. Obama himself admits to having been born with dual citizenship. Although he has never shown proof of any type of U.S. citizenship, whether natural born, 14th Amendment native citizen, or a naturalized citizen after having immigrated from another country. Insert here from me, Sharon makes an excellent point. We don't even know if he's American. We don't know. And if he was born overseas, at the time he said he was born, his mother was too young to pass on any kind of American citizenship. So this is very, very clear. Remember, we go back to Michelle Obama's statement a long time ago saying that, oh, yes, Ann Stanley Ann Dunham was very single when she had him. So what's that obfuscation about? Some constitutional scholars and attorneys have endorsed what is sometimes termed the, quote, unity theory, unquote, which states that a, quote, natural-born citizen, unquote, is one who was born on U.S. soil with two U.S. citizen parents at the time of his birth. Whether citizenship is passed down by the father alone, by natural law theory, or the unity theory is the correct definition, Obama clearly does not meet the natural-born criterion. Four previous Supreme Court cases have produced rulings on the definition of a United States citizen and have supported the contention that simply being born on U.S. soil does not entitle a person to U.S. citizenship, let alone the higher standard of natural-born citizen. As you are aware, Obama has hidden his college records, medical records, grade school and high school records, and Harvard Law School compositions. As editor of the Harvard Law Review, one would think that his writings were prolific and widely available. The New York Sun has called Obama's years at Columbia, quote, unquote, a mystery. Recently, attorney and dentist Orly Tates published a first amended complaint which contained documents appearing to be Obama's Columbia transcripts, which show that he attended for only 1 year rather than two. If true, Obama has misrepresented his whereabouts for a full year of his life, 1981 to 1982. Obama himself admitted that he traveled to Pakistan in 1981 when it was difficult for Americans to enter the country. This begs the question, On which country's passport did he travel to Pakistan in 1981, and how long did he stay? Cates has also completed extensive research into what appears to be Obama's fraudulent use of a Social Security number issued previously to a man born in the state of Connecticut, where Obama never lived, worked, or attended school. Cates claims that more than 30 Social Security numbers have been utilized by Barack Obama in various parts of the country. Little insert here from me. Hollister just recently obtained some information. I'll read that article to you in a second. But basically, he obtained information that this Social Security number was never issued. It was never issued. So we need to drill down on that, but the fact that he has many more. Yet another complication which Obama has never explained is the school registration form bearing his name, which states that his citizenship was Indonesian. According to a highly reliable source who was an Indonesian native and naturalized American citizen, during the 1960s, both a child and a spouse had to become Indonesian citizens to live in that country and for the child to attend school. If Obama was given Indonesian citizenship, does he still possess it? Did he ever renounce it? If so, where is the documentation? Where is the documentation that he was ever an American citizen, let alone natural-born citizen? Last December, a highly decorated U.S. Army flight surgeon was sentenced to 6 months in Fort Leavenworth for questioning whether or not the orders he was receiving to deploy to Iraq for the second time were legitimate. For 2 years, Lieutenant Colonel Terrence Lakin wrote to his elected representatives, to Congress, and went through his chain of command to obtain an answer to his question so that he could uphold his sworn oath to support and defend the Constitution. Instead of receiving an answer to which he is entitled by virtue of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, he was denied any discovery, broken on the witness stand by his own defense attorney, forced to confess to failing to follow orders, and sentenced to prison far from his wife and three young children where he sits today. Would a legitimate commander-in-chief not have produced the required documentation to satisfy this soldier's inquiry rather than allow his career to be destroyed and his income, pension, and all benefits to be immediately forfeited? Another soldier, Major Stephen Cook, challenged Obama's orders to deploy to Afghanistan because of Obama's questionable eligibility. Rather than address the charges, Cook's deployment order was promptly rescinded. Cook lost his job and security clearance. Of the numerous lawsuits filed against Obama charging that he is constitutionally ineligible to seek and or occupy the office of the president, not one court has been willing to hear a case on its merits. It therefore appears that our entire judiciary, Congress, state governments, nearly all attorneys, and U.S. attorneys have been willing to replace the Constitution with a rival government which supports treason because of its support for the usurpation of the U.S. presidency. A courageous woman named Teresa Cowell, who was present during the reading of the U.S. Constitution by the 112th House of Representatives on January 6, 2011, and shouted, "Accept Obama, accept Obama," when the Natural Born Citizen Clause was read, has been brought up on charges of unlawful conduct and is facing 6 months in jail for speaking the truth that Obama is not a natural born citizen. While her action made national news, she has been purposely marginalized and libeled by the mainstream media, and the Obama-appointed judge for her case to date has not recused herself. Mr. Trump, the constitutional crisis which Obama's Fox presidency has caused cannot be overstated. Since Obama has never been eligible to serve, every single U.S. military member has been following illegal orders. The upper brass of the military know and will say nothing. The Joint Chiefs of Staff know and evidently care more for their paychecks, pensions, and prestige than for the oath to which they swore allegiance. More than 2 years ago, a criminal complaint of treason was filed against Obama with the full knowledge of the Secret Service and FBI. Nothing has been done. More than 3,000 other such complaints have been filed with the FBI, U.S. attorneys, courts, and judges across the land, but they have proven to be guilty of treason as well for failing to act. Obama's Justice Department continues to act against the states and people it allows, against the states and people as it allows criminals to walk free and refuses to protect our borders from murderers, drug dealers, and kidnappers. Obama has unconstitutionally seized control of the banking, automobile, and healthcare industries, costing Americans their freedom to make their own choices, their source of employment or business, and First Amendment rights. The media has been a complicit player in this debacle, which has attempted to destroy the America which millions of us have known and loved. You might be interested to know that an attorney working for a law firm with political ties to Obama had floated the idea of a Muslim, non-American-born person ascending to the White House and strongly advocated the abolition of the natural-born citizen requirement. Before the election, one constitutional attorney stated, "America is facing potentially the gravest constitutional crisis in her history. Barack Obama must either stand up in a public forum and prove with conclusive documentary evidence that he is a natural-born citizen of the United States who has not renounced his American citizenship, or he must step down as the Democratic Party's candidate for President of the United States, preferably before the election is held and in any event before the Electoral College meets. If Obama indeed has usurped the presidency, potentially every military order he has given, every bill he has signed, every executive order he has issued, and all judicial and other appointments could be rendered invalid. That includes two appointees to the U.S. Supreme Court who have failed to recuse themselves during conferences over Obama's eligibility. I would be happy to meet with you via telephone or in person to further discuss the evidence against Obama and those who put him in power. As almost all of the American public is now aware that there is a problem with Obama's birth story, history, and eligibility to serve as president, it would seem that this is the time to act. There are tens of millions of Americans who will rally behind your methodological exposure of this systematic destruction of our nation. Our America is depending on those who care about our country, the Constitution upon it was founded, and preserving our unalienable, God-given rights for our children, grandchildren, and beyond. Sincerely, Sharon Rondo." Thank you so much, Sharon. Let me take a look in the chat. Hi, everybody. Wasn't that great? Wasn't that a great letter? Thank you, Sharon. I wrote to Sharon about her letter, thanked her profusely, told her I would do anything for her, including drilling a well, which I know how to do, and whatever she needs. And I am so grateful. I don't know if she has heard from Mr. Trump or not, but the important thing is that we need to keep giving Mr. Trump information. It's important to call him or leave a message or send what you can. I know that materials have been sent to Mr. Trump and so forth. So now let's take a look at his strategy. And I did not watch the O'Reilly interview this evening, so I am going to ask anyone out there who wants to call in to let us know when we get to that spot what happened. But let's look at how he did this. First, he took it on by surprise and in The View and basically busted the race card wide open because Whoopi Goldberg couldn't keep her mouth shut and just said, "That's the most racist thing I ever heard." It gave Donald Trump a chance to say, "What does this have to do with race?" And then Whoopi stupidly said, "Well, you never asked a white president for a birth certificate." Yee-hoo! She is totally a racist. It was totally exposed. And in my view, the race card is gone as any kind of reason to do this. Of course, Commander Kirshner was right there with Dwight Eisenhower putting out his birth certificate. And there was Donald Trump, a white man, who put out his birth certificate the next day. So this is what is so funny, because he put out the hospital form first. And, of course, everybody jumped on it, the liberal media. And when they jumped on that, they exposed themselves as knowing exactly what a natural-born citizen is, because they jumped on Trump's mother as being born in Scotland. And they all say, "Well, we just don't know at all how he has the requisite qualifications to serve as president of the United States." What do you mean? You mean if a parent is born outside the country, Gee, when did you learn that? Now, this is just hysterical because Donald Trump pulled him out bit by bit. So now we have the whole media having been exposed on this issue. So the next thing he does is he goes and gets, Donald Trump goes and gets his state certified birth certificate, which shows that his mother was a naturalized citizen. And she naturalized in, from Scotland in 1942, and Donald Trump was born in 1946. There you go. All you need is to have two citizen parents. If the parents were born somewhere else, they have to be American citizens at the time of the birth of the child. So there you go. Donald Trump is a natural-born citizen. So there we come in. Of course, the birthers came in and approved him, which is just wonderful. Tale of the birthers just went through everything, and Donald Trump is a natural-born citizen. Although the media are still trying to say that he's not eligible because his plane is registered in Jamaica or something like that. So I am very excited, and I think there's more to come. I really do think there's more to come. Now, he obviously went on The View. He did not back down on Greta Van Susteren's show with Laura Ingraham this morning and with Bill O'Reilly this afternoon. There were all kinds of things that have been brought up. And let me say a couple of things I got to note. Let me see. You know, I'm going to, just a second, I'm going to see if there's anyone who does want to call in. Yes, Whoopi put her boyfriend. McCain and Bush had to show their birth certificates. Yes. And, you know, we may not have liked Bush, but, you know, we all knew he was an American. Okay. All right. That's right. That's right. All right. So let's see. Donald Trump, he's going to keep going on this. He knows there's something wrong. He mentioned that there are thousands of people writing him every day. We need to keep doing that and show him that we will back him totally. I mean, of all the people, I never would have thought, honestly, my goodness, I never would have thought it would have been Donald Trump. Of all the people to come out, we've had generals, we've had soldiers, we've had very highly qualified attorneys, we've had individuals, we've had all of us out there, and we have just been sidelined and, you know, ridiculed and so forth. And if any of you saw that great series on the Post, post an email called The Birthers, Who Are They? Why Are People So Afraid of Them? I thought that was very encouraging as well, because no one, you know, we are people interested in our Constitution. That article in the Post and email was very complimentary about the fact that we've all endured this stuff and we still keep going. And we're not going to stop. You know, every now and then when I get a comment from one of these obots on my blog, you know, I drop back into, you know, being depressed about this. Why can't they, you know, leave us alone, you know? How many times can you be called a zombie, you know, and not have it affect you every now and then, especially if you have a bad hair day, for heaven's sakes? So, but I'm encouraged, and I encourage all of us not to let Trump take the whole thing by himself. We need to stand with him, do the research as much as we can, you know, provide him that info. Now, let me read a couple of comments to you on my blog about Obama or about these interviews. Again, there are people who are anxious for him to say everything all at once. And I know he was focusing on the newspaper stuff and everything. But, you know, I think Donald Trump is a smart man. I think this is a strategy. I think he's probably planned this. I think this is going bit by bit. Now, can I ask anyone to call in and talk about Laura Ingraham's interview today, or so forth. I guess not. Okay, now. All right, let me read a couple of other things while I wait for someone to have the guts to call in, tell us about what Trump said today. Thank you. Let me raise some things now. All of the presidential candidates are going to be asked about, Republican presidential candidates are going to be asked about this already. Plenty destroyed himself because, again, they're all saying, you know, I believe Obama, I believe he was born in America, end of story, and gee, this is such a dangerous diversion from everything we have to deal with right now. It's almost verbatim, and it raises the question, who's calling them? It's probably Rove, because it's very clear that the Republicans are not going to back anybody who raises this issue, because they think they're just going to keep us in the dark. They think we're stupid, and they are so seeped in their own careers and monies and all the games they've got going on for so long, they don't even see that they are approaching the point of extinction, as far as I'm concerned. No more career politicians than they all are. There are a lot of people who have been pretty quiet about this, and of course, Daryl Issa, hello, where's he? None of them are around. Yes, in Laura Ingraham, Donald brought up Resco and the Teflon president. Apparently also in O'Reilly, he expressed considerable concern about the mosque and how the insensitivity of the Muslimics, as my friend likes to say. So let me get to this point here, see what you think about this. I've got a slow computer this evening. Let me see. Yes. Now, remember, the birthplace Coast Province General Hospital of Mombasa is where... is at least where there's only a birth certificate, at least a something that looks like a birth certificate with a footprint and so forth and so on it. And remember, Lucas Smith has delivered that to all 535 members of Congress, which Papoose pointed out, if they have, that's our birth certificate. We have a right to see it. And it would be very nice, I think, for everyone to write to those members of Congress and ask to see Obama's birth certificate. What are they going to do, put up the cost one? I think that's what they will do. I know that when I was in Wyoming, that's what my representative did. He sent it three times to me. But they have the Kenyan one. So this would be another interesting strategy. Will the Donald hold that one up? Who knows? Who knows? Okay, now... all right, let me see. Here is someone who's suggesting that my opinion of Trump just went up several notches. His stand on gay marriage, against it, does not waver. His stand on abortion, pro-life, and he did not waver. His stand on immigration, put our troops on the border and stop them from coming in. Not too sure about his opinion of what we should do with those already here. But everyone is saying he needs to understand that if Obama's father was not a U.S. citizen, this is toast for him. So we all know that other aspect. I believe that Mr. Trump is going to bring that out precisely at the right time. I just don't see that this is a spontaneous decision to do this. And especially when you've got Rove saying, boy, he's making a big mistake, well, then you know he's on the right track. And, you know, we might not have anybody but a mealy Republican and Obama and then Donald Trump. You know, so this is going to be very, very interesting. All right. Now, I already mentioned that Barniz, Keyes, Drake, there will be a hearing on that May 2nd. Colonel Gregory Hollister verified the Social Security number via the Social Security Number Verification Service that Obama's Social Security number was, quote, never issued, even though Obama used the Social Security number. Now, apparently, Hollister is now facing charges for doing this. So let me see. According to the Social Security Administration, that number was never issued. Hollister denied breaking any laws. I was very meticulous and made sure everything I did was compliant with the law, Hollister said, noting that he sent Obama a 1099 tax form. You know what? We can all do that because he's supposed to work for us. And so when you send him a 1099, it's very funny. Then remember that there are several private investigators who have verified this. I want to go into this Social Security number for a number of different, just for a second, sidetrack, under who did it. I think that there are a lot of theories. One, of course, is that it was, the Dunhams trying to offer, whatever American citizenship to their new grandson. But, the Social Security number was applied for in 1977, somewhere around there. So I'm not sure that Madeline Dunham's, I don't think she was volunteering that time at the, registrar's office or so forth in Honolulu. I'm not sure. But there's one theory that she got it for him that way. My theory, at least another theory, is that this shows the Weather Underground influence, because that's what the Weather Underground does, is they find Social Security numbers of dead people or ones that haven't been issued by various means, and then they go ahead and create a whole life based on it. Ayers had supposedly met Obama, actually in Hawaii in 1973, much earlier than everyone thought. And they may have been involved right from the beginning. Who knows how? Don't want to even think about that. But when you begin to add that with Pakistan and his missing years at Columbia, you begin to see a pattern here where he is, however it happened, this has been a conspiracy to put this guy in from the beginning, not from when he was born or anything like that. But once Obama hooked up with Weather Underground and that whole area, possibly CIA and so forth, this is what was happening. But I think it's critical to remember what Sharon just wrote. These people, all 535 of them, all of the administration, they have put in a rival government. That supports the usurpation of the presidency. So now the OBUTs, the flat earth eligibility deniers, all of these people, I now find themselves completely in arrears, I think. What can they defend? When they try to go after Trump's birth certificate, they're completely hypocritical. And they spent more time on Trump's birth certificate than they did in 3 years of Obama. They've never looked at it. I don't think they expected it to get this far, actually. I don't think they expected anyone like Donald Trump to come up with what he did. So I am quite excited about what's going on. And now I'm going to reissue my call again for somebody to call in and let us know what's happening. Yes, Hollister said that Columbia was only there for 9 months, or Orly Tates, I guess, was able to find his transcript, which means that he may have been in Pakistan for that time. Remember who his advisor was. It was Brzezinski. Remember that picture that I put on my website many times of Brzezinski meeting with Bin Laden. And that was a Carter Brzezinski thing, is to set the Muslims up. And now look at what has happened. Every time you hear Al-Qaeda, unfortunately, you have to think about, well, is it our CIA or is it Mossad or what intelligence agency is funding Al-Qaeda? So everything comes unraveled when Obama sends missiles off secretly to Libya. Al-Qaeda has already captured, I don't know, how many, 15 surface-to-air missiles that apparently they've used in Iraq today. And he doesn't know who the rebels are, but this is this new world order thing. And, you know, he overrode Gates. He overrode everybody and listened to Samantha Powers and all of these people. And when you listen to his speech, it's so defensive. He's like a cornered rabid dog. He is defensive. He has nothing to save. He is unapologetic of violating our Constitution. And now we have the senators and congressmen debating as to whether we should arm the rebels or not. What are they doing? This is end of story. Stop. This is unconstitutional. Right now, stop. Right now, stop. They should stop even debating this because they give him credit as a usurper. But you see, they are a rival government, aren't they? I've thought all along that the only people who really are in revolution is our government right now, because they're revolting against the Constitution and revolting against us. We've let it go for so long, we can't anymore. Is it too late? Maybe it is. I don't know. I just saw that remark, Papoose, freak the libtards out and honor President Clinton. Yes, that would be funny. Who knows what's behind all of this information? But the Obas now they have to defend this Libyan action of the new Obama doctrine. You know, it's very clear that Obama violated the War Powers Act, as well as constitutional the Constitution by doing this. But he doesn't care. It makes me wonder about every single step that Obama takes, whether he's being paid off. For example, okay, we'll give you $10 million if you invade Libya. This is our next thing to do. And you do it this way and that way. Obama sits there, takes orders, and the rest of the time he's playing basketball, golf, flossing in bed, or, you know, watching ESPN. He's perfectly happy to do that. The Insider report today said that the Obamas had, in fact, commissioned a marketing study to show them how much money they could make after two terms as the president versus one term. And the Insider says their only reason for a second term is that they can make hundreds of millions instead of tens of millions. Well, that seems to fit. You know, but it's not just a money-making thing for them. It is obviously the orders he's taking to destroy our country. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. Commander Kirshner and Mario Puzo suggested in an interview last week that Obama has maybe 3 to 6 months. I think we must keep the pressure up. We cannot let Mr. Trump feel like he's the only one saying these things. We have to keep bringing it up again and keep bringing it up. And, you know, for myself, if I'm in the post office or if I'm getting a coffee or I'm doing something like that, I will always mention something like this. And it is not, you know, not making people happy. Yeah, I thought it was funny that Obama got locked out of the White House, and he tried to look all cool, you know, whistling and stuff, but he probably can't even whistle. And remember what he did to to Benjamin Netanyahu and the Dalai Lama, made them come in through the trash on the side gate. So he got a little bit of his own medicine, but his office was locked down. And I just wonder what's going on. I wonder why the commanding officer has not approved Lakin's sentence yet. I also wonder about all of a sudden there's an eligibility case is going to be heard on May 2nd. You know, what's going on here? You see, they're going to try to distract. Are they going to use that as another reason to bash the birthers? Yeah, I think they are. You know, why now? May 2nd, why now are they going to be doing this? So you see, it is a conspiracy. It is all over. They have all this interest in just absolutely keeping us silent in the dark and away from this issue. 3 to 6 months. Let's try to dream, forecast, put the energy out there, do what we can, because that's the first positive vision I've ever heard. We need to keep it up on the Libya invasion, which is unconstitutional. He's after Syria right now. If you read Lame Cherry, you can see that the entire Middle East is in crisis. You know, who are these people who are revolting? How did they get their tanks? What was Bill Gates doing in Egypt recently? And why did, not Bill Gates, what's his name, Robert Gates, why did he say when he came back from Egypt, well, these countries have to, you know, back up their people's aspirations. What about us? What about 90% of Americans who want the military or somebody to get this Obama to prove himself, rather running around or not? And again, I'm reminded that, you know, he can't prove himself. The birth certificate issue, it's important that we keep all of these in mind. We know how the birth certificate issue has been used to marginalize us and to make it a very narrow kind of discussion, which allowed them the 2.5-year discussion over an electronic image on a computer. You know, we ended up talking about that and all the forensics and all of that stuff on that and on doing it. While we let his statements on being a Native American born under British citizenship go on by, that was a masterful strategy. It worked for a little while. It got a lot of us on just birth certificate. People will just say that, it's simpler for Americans to understand. But, you know, there's always the possibility that the CIA-created Obama birth certificate is curing itself right now in some vault or something like that. And, you know, is this the strategy to pull one out? And it is very important that if that is a strategy, that we start creating the ground right now for forensic analysis of that. Because we already have the statements that even if he did produce it, the birthers wouldn't believe it was true. Well, that's right. After 3 years of constant, after, you know, destroying our country, and then he pulls out a birth certificate, yeah, it's going to look suspicious. But, you know, if they've got the money and the media and all of that, you know that's the final assault on the birthers, is it anyone who says that? So we have to start creating that right now. He produces a birth certificate, fine, but also not only forensic, but so what? So what if he produces that birth certificate? So we still have work to do to push forward. I think Donald Trump is probably learning about this. He probably knows about this, the true requirements of natural-born citizenship. But also, I think he knows as well as we know that there's nothing out there in Hawaii, or there's something on that, whatever he has in Hawaii, that he doesn't want. But I think if you look at Lady Force's analysis, the My Very Own Point of View, is that there's a special list that has been created for a number of these people. One of them is Barack Obama, who's on that list. But that list doesn't look like any other list that's been generated at all. I think that there are a whole bunch of foreign babies that came into Hawaii at that time. Right then, you know, it was made a state in 1959. Easy, easy, easy to scam the system. Remember, Hawaii was Moscow's outpost for the Communist Party, USA, Frank Marshall Davis. You think of Obama's mother's background, FBI or CIA probably, the Ford Foundation, the microfinancing, the impoverishment of the third world by lending people money that they can't afford to pay back, and then, you know, it's indentured servitude. It is. And then as we look at history, you know, what Ford's role was in ruining our educational system, along with Rockefeller and Carnegie. So, you know, we are in an amazing time where we have now just seen this whole 20th century laid out for us, and the results of that have been the installation of this usurper into the White House. And as they go after our guns, and if they go after our jobs, it is very serious. I know right now, just because of my situation, I am unable to pack up and go anywhere right now. And I know there are a lot of people like that. Many people have families, houses, jobs, and so forth. This is all by design. So look what they're doing, you know, spraying the skies. Gas prices are supposed to rocket this week. Already inflation is going up. Food, everything is going up. So the plan is to starve us out. I think anyone who lives in the middle of the country around the New Madrid fault line needs to pay attention. And remember, the biggest fear there, of course, the rivers and so forth. There was the quake that happened in 1811 there 200 years ago. Is that 200 years? Yeah. The quake that happened then was, I think, I don't know, around magnitude 6 or 7, but it produced a river tsunami. The waves went right back up the river and wiped out a bunch of people. So it's the rivers, but also the fact that the materials underneath the New Madrid fault zone are what they call quick clay. That the minute you shake them, they turn into liquid. And so you have a lot of, like, buried forests there or forests that are underwater. It's because of that. Any kind of shaking will produce that in that area. So if we, you know, there are these, isn't there a military exercise coming up right now, an emergency exercise regarding the New Madrid fault zone? I think there is. So remember, the last time they did emergency exercises was on 9/11, right? They were simulating a plane flying into a building. How interesting. So we've got to watch that. Okay. All right. Now, let's see. Has anyone called in? Nobody wants to call in yet. Okay. Let me see. All right. I'm going to read this to you right now. And then I'm going to take just a little bit of a break, and then we'll come back for a second. Oh, it's already 7:07. I think I'm only an hour and a half tonight. Let me see. Yeah, only 20 minutes left. So you only have to listen to me for 20 more minutes, okay? Mario Puzo wrote this article. Let me just give some background. Again, there are these state eligibility legislation being passed everywhere because the feds have refused to do it. The rival government has refused to do it. So, of course, we have all these supposed constitutional scholars coming on radio shows and everything else saying that what the states are doing is unconstitutional. It's just bullshit, you know. It's bullshit, and these people need to be challenged on that. The states have every right to do what they're doing. But also remember that what is going to happen is Obama will wait to the last minute to sue every one of these states, and the judges will willingly comply and put those eligibility things off until after the election. This is the plan. Mark my words, he will do that. He will sue. So we have to be ready. One of the ways that we have to be ready is to really petition and do not let our secretaries of states move forward. Okay. Let me see. I'm moving into this article on Mario Puzo's website, and I'm just going to – he went through various backgrounds, so I'm going to see what we have here. As we see, unlike our judicial branch of government, Arizona legislatures have rightfully recognized the right of a citizen – oh, Let me back up here. We have seen the many Obama eligibility lawsuits filed in our federal courts. Citizens have attempted to protect themselves by enforcing the Natural Born Citizen Clause. One of these suits is Kirshner v. Obama. In these legal actions, the federal courts have simply denied anyone the right to enforce the Natural Born Citizen Clause and to challenge Obama's eligibility because, as they have said, no one has standing to bring such lawsuits. Generally, one has standing to bring a legal action if one can show that one has suffered an injury, in fact, caused by the defendant's conduct for which the court can give a remedy. So we have Obama injuring 300 million people, and we can't get a case before the U.S. Supreme Court. Oh, I forgot, that's John Roberts. That's right, he's part of the scheme. Sotomayor and Kagan are part of the scheme. I can't say it. Judge Thomas, yeah, probably part of the scheme. Maybe Alito is the only one left, but in my view, their failure to deal with any of these cases is impeachable, and if I could, I'd be up there sitting on the Supreme Court steps right now, and I wouldn't leave until Roberts and everyone else resigns. Okay, several of our states are now working on drafting and passing presidential vetting and eligibility statutes. One example is Arizona HB 2177 and SB 1157 both have standing clauses. These clauses state, a member of the House of Representatives, a member of the Senate, or any other citizen of this state has standing to initiate an action to enforce this section. Arizona legislatures have rightfully recognized the right of a citizen to protect his or her life, liberty, safety, security, tranquility, and property from a potentially illegal president sitting in the office of the president and commander-in-chief from which he or she would wield enormous power over that individual, which would cause that person an injury in fact on a daily basis. I feel injured on a daily basis because, as far as I'm concerned, we don't have a country right now. No laws are valid. Taxes? What are those? You know, break. If one of these state laws passes, such a citizen would have standing to file a legal action in which he or she would be able to claim to enforce the Natural Born Citizen Clause by enforcing the state eligibility statute. Now, remember, there are a lot of states out there that are doing this. Remember also that some of these states have pulled them back or passed them off to 2013. My own view is the Obama administration is bribing these states or threatening them with federal funding one way or another. Individual legislators are probably being promised something or paid something. But according to the White House insider, last time this issue was raised, if several states are doing this, it's going to be a problem for them. They'll figure it out. But if one or two states manage to do this, Jarrett said she'd pull out the race card. Well, thanks to Donald Trump, the race card is just not going to work for those states. But, you know, look at what's going on now. Remember, every time this issue has come out, they have created diversion after diversion after diversion. They're actively funding revolution in Wisconsin. They are, you know, with Soros and everybody else, the video that was caught, the statement that was caught on video of the economic war, terrorism, these folks want to rein in on the states. So there's a lot going on in the eligibility law in Arizona. The one that first went down, it went down because there were Democratic legislators who really were lying. They were OBOTs. And, you know, the first version of the Arizona bill I thought was just horrendous. And that went down. But now there's another bill that's come up, and it's been passed and seems very strong. So the states have a right and duty to assure their citizens that a presidential candidate is an Article II natural-born citizen. To give these laws any teeth and to avoid any possible political gains by any Secretary of State, it is critical that such legislation include a standing clause. Without Congress, the courts, the political parties, and the media willing to enforce the natural-born citizen clause, how else are responsible Americans to make sure that their president is eligible for that office? Let us all give our states the support they need to enact such necessary and proper legislation. I think that's right, but I also think we ought to right now start writing to our Secretary of States, right now, saying that these are the issues we're going to be watching. And, you know, I'm glad I live where I live, but there are other states that don't have this. And we're going to need to make sure that we're already out there with the Secretary of State, just knowing what's going on. So I thought that was quite interesting. Okay. Yep. No, I think it's not anarchy. I think it's a coup, Nancy. I think that it's a coup. I don't know if Roberts is being extorted, Synaptic, because there's some information that he's a billionaire, and that he is part of this cabal. And if you look at the last series of presidents and so forth, there is something more going on here than we know. It's been the implantation of the New World Order and these really traitors within our own government. Schumer, you know, he's just been caught, you know, making extortion, telling people how he's going to do stuff. And you think about those kind of games that they're playing while American people are suffering. They are toast. They should all get out of there as far as I'm concerned. Okay. All right. I just have a few minutes here, and I want to read you something that I will be writing about, but I'm quite concerned about this. because at the same time that Obama has waged war against us ever since 5 days before the election, when he said we were 5 days before fundamentally transforming the United States, he declared war on us already. But of course, did anyone hear that? Only those of us. So in addition to warring with everyone else in the world, hostile takeovers of our industries, a complete violation of the Constitution, the pushing of health care, of Obamacare, all of this stuff. We've got this Janet Napolitano and her little Homeland Security Nazis laying this out too. Now, I want to read this article to you that was in the survivalblog.com, Beware of Homeland Security Training. I will post the link. If you don't mind me reading this, I'm going to. Article written March 30th, 2011. James Wesley Rawls. I've been in law enforcement for the past 18 years. I've attended a variety of training over those years. During the 1990s, most training I attended was community-oriented, sponsored by local agencies or private companies specializing in police training. Themes common to training of the past include topics such as constitutional rights, community partnerships, youth-oriented programs, and problem-oriented policing. During the past several years, I've witnessed a dramatic shift in the focus of law enforcement training. Law enforcement courses have moved away from local community focus to a federally dominated model of complete social control. Most training I've attended in the last 2 years has been sponsored by Homeland Security, namely the Transportation Security Administration and FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency. No matter what the topic the training session concerns, every Department of Homeland Security-sponsored course I have attended over the last few years never fails to branch off into warnings about potential domestic terrorists in the community. While this may sound like a valid officer and community safety issue, you may be disturbed to learn how our federal government typically describes a typical domestic terrorist. These federal trainers describe the dangers of, quote, extremists, unquote, and, quote, militia groups, unquote. Remember, militia is legal, roaming the community and hiding in plain sight, ready to attack. That's you and me. Officers are instructed how to recognize these domestic terrorists by their behavior, views, and common characteristics. State databases are kept to track suspected domestic terrorists, and officers are instructed on reporting procedures to state and federal agencies. The state I work in, like many others, have what is known as a fusion center that compiles a watch list of suspicious people. So how does a person qualify as a potential domestic terrorist? Based on the training I have attended, here are the characteristics that qualify. Expressions of libertarian philosophies in statements and on bumper stickers. Second Amendment-oriented views, NRA or gun club membership, holding a CCW permit. Concealed weapons, right? Concealed carry weapons permit. If you have one, you're a domestic terrorist. Survivalist literature. Fictional books such as, quote, Patriots and One Second After. These books are mentioned by name. Self-sufficiency, stockpiling food, ammo, hand tools, medical supplies. Fear of economic collapse, buying gold and barter items. Religious views concerning the Book of Revelation, Apocalypse, Antichrist. Expressed fears of Big Brother or big government. Homeschooling. Declarations of constitutional rights and civil liberties. Belief in a New World Order conspiracy. All of that stuff that we know is true, they're using to target us. At a recent training session I attended, encouraged law enforcement agencies to work with business owners to alert police when customers appear to be stockpiling items. An example was given that a federal agent was monitoring customers at a well-known hunting and fishing retail outlet and noting who was purchasing certain items. This is something to remember the next time you purchase a case of ammo at one of these popular outdoor sports retail stores, you're being watched. Methods of developing evidence of terrorist activity from virtually any search have also been discussed. Various common materials which may be associated with homemade explosives are listed, such as lengths of pipe, gunpowder, matches, flammable liquids, and fireworks. Officers are told when these items are found, they can be listed as, quote, bomb-making materials, unquote. The training even goes far as to instruct officers that items are cleverly disguised as legitimate, such as gasoline stored near a lawnmower, pipes stored in a shop building, or gunpowder stored with reloading materials. This is just everyday life. One course I attended used the example of a person employed as a plumber as being the target of a search warrant. In this example, officers were told how to use his employment as a plumber as further evidence of terrorism against him. The suspect's employment would be described as an elaborate scheme to justify possessing pipes and chemicals so as to have bomb-making materials readily available. Based on this example, all plumbers are potential pipe bomb makers. All gun dealers are plotting to provide arms to gangs or terrorists. All pest control companies are preparing mass poisonings. By using this logic, simply having the ability to do something criminal automatically makes the person guilty of plotting the crime. With all the various methods of manufacturing methamphetamine, it would also be easy to claim that a disassembled clandestine drug lab was located during the search. In other words, it's easy to frame anyone for possessing bomb-making materials or other crimes if the officer knows what items to list in the report and how to link these items to terrorism. So they are training officers to spy on, to turn us in. You know, I just went to a store and bought a whole bunch of canned goods, right? I'm probably on the list, too, because I am stocking up. Another common tactic used by DHS-sponsored training is the slander of certain ideologies by linking an erroneous characteristic to a particular group. Here are some examples. These groups hold the anniversaries of certain dates of significance, such as Ruby Ridge, Waco, and Hitler's birthday. They oppose abortion, support gun rights, and are affiliated with the Ku Klux Klan. They are fearful of big government, espouse support for the Constitution, and want to kill police officers. These groups collect firearms, survival books, and explosives. These extremists read books such as Patriots, One Second After, and The Anarchist Cookbook. They are religious zealots, reading the Book of Revelation, speaking of the second coming of Christ, and plan mass murders to summon the end of the world. These people grow their own food, raise livestock, and plot attacks on commercial food production facilities. Do you see how the tactic works? list common characteristics of libertarian, conservative, constitution-minded people, then throw in a slanderous accusation, like espouse support for the Constitution and want to kill police officers. If A and B apply, then you should automatically presume C applies. If they were disturbed by the incidents at Ruby Ridge and Waco, then obviously they must celebrate Hitler's birthday. Officers are being terroristic views when politically incorrect views are observed. A simple-minded and ridiculous line of thinking this is, there are officers who unfortunately try to buy into this. Another training session I attended 2 years ago discussed the dangers of people who have strong views of the U.S. Constitution. One trainer made the statement that these people actually believe the Second Amendment gives them the personal right to own a gun. Of course, the trainer failed to mention that our founding fathers, as well as recent Supreme Court rulings, verify this view as being completely accurate. The obvious attempt here was to suggest to officers that the Second Amendment does not apply to individual gun ownership and to be suspicious of anyone who holds such a view. It was also stressed to be cautious of anyone who quotes the Constitution and, even worse, actually possesses a copy of this radical document. Incredibly, in the United States of America today, belief in our founding legal principles is now grounds for being labeled a domestic terrorist. Imagine how they would respond to some of the known statements of Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry, or George Mason concerning the individual liberty and limited government. It is true that one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. There are several things that we must do to counter this effort. First, get involved in local elections. Elect county sheriffs who will not fall for such propaganda nor go along with oppressive federal policies. Elect city council members who will not tolerate such behavior by their city police department. Elect state representatives who will hold state agencies accountable for participating in these tactics. Bring up these issues during elections. Demand a public statement on their position on such propaganda and a promise to stand against these efforts while in office. Second, get to know your law enforcement officers. It's much more difficult for Homeland Security to brainwash officers against people they personally know. When you're viewed as a neighbor, friend, or fellow Christian, these officers are far less likely to submit your name to a terrorist watch list or view you as such. We want local officers to be personally offended when they hear members of their community slandered in these ways. Be courteous, even if that officer has fallen for the propaganda. Educate them. Eventually, the officer may attend one of these training sessions, hear the propaganda, and say to himself, "This isn't true. I've dealt with many people like this. They are God-fearing, liberty-loving Americans. They are not the enemy." I thought that was a wonderful, wonderful article. And I will be writing about it on my post, my discussion this evening or later. And we've got about 2 minutes left, so I encourage everyone to go find the Bill O'Reilly piece. I'll probably find the video tonight. Obama Release Your Records always has this available. And I'm going to say good evening and have a great evening. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you all next week. Please join us for Walls in Our Minds tomorrow night. Take care, all. Bye.